degree. And so for him, learning has been a lifelong pursuit. Amen. He was a professor at one point, but the posture of his life is, I'm going to be a continual learner. And I believe after knowing more about him, that he has a revelation about learning, amen, that can benefit us today. The second picture there, that's Flo-Jo. A lot of y'all know who Flo-Jo was, amen, fastest woman ever, 10.49 seconds in the 100-meter dash, 21.34 seconds, 200-meter dash. That's smoking, amen. Leave a lot of guys in the dust, amen. But I began thinking about natural talent and natural ability. A lot of people have natural talent. A lot of people have natural ability. But if you're going to succeed at higher levels of competition or success in life, it requires a more concerted effort, doesn't it? You're not going to just get by just because you have talent. You're going to have to do something else in order to excel. The next picture there is a university student. I was his mentor. This is a letter he wrote to me after our time together. Hello, Mr. Rashid. I'm glad that I got a chance to observe your unique classroom this semester. Honestly, I wish all 10 of my observations had taken place in the Venture Center. The experience really opened my eyes to different aspects of teaching that I hadn't considered at the beginning of the semester. So I'd like to thank you for letting my classmates and I into your classroom to observe and take part in what you do for these kids. During the first observation, you emphasized that these kids are all normal students who just made poor decisions. And I saw this come to light very quickly as I took part in your class. I was and still am proud to have been dubbed Rashid 2.0, despite my receding hairline being part of the reason. And so, you know, I'm bald, he's bald. And so, you know, they called him Rashid 2.0. Amen. He said, the experiences I had with your students will always be a fond memory of mine. I find myself already missing my involvement there. And so as I began pondering that, at the time, I was pastoring a church, my third church that I was pastoring. I had been there at that time probably 7 or 8 years. And I said, would to God cause people to come to this place, amen, that would want to go all in for God. And you say amen. I said, Lord, would there be men and women that are willing to go all in for you? He knows exactly what he wants in life. He says, I want to be a teacher, and I'm going to sit under your tutorship. You're going to teach me as far as academically in the field of education. And I said, oh, would to God do that with men and women in his kingdom? Hallelujah. And so this church is going on how many years? 15 years. And so how does a congregation get to different levels of impact? Amen. How do you increase what God is doing? Some of you have been around a lot longer than others. Some of you are newer. Maybe this is your first time coming. As I said in the song, you know, you go to a church and you expect to have worship and a sermon. Amen. You expect to at some point find community and family at church. Can you say amen? Amen. But not only that, you can find instruction for service. And so I talked about the sustainability of revival. One of the key things about sustainability in revival is vision. There is godly leadership, but there is a vision. And the reason why what Jesus began is still continuing today is because from a place of authority by the Spirit of God, hallelujah, the vision of reaching the world with salvation is still going forth. Can you say amen? And that is the crux of everything that we do as a church. Our mission and our vision as a fellowship and even as a church, not only to come and worship together and have family and community, but also to be led by a vision, a God vision. Can you say amen? And I think that's the greatest thing. And I'll just say this for now. Amen. Lots of places, they have, you know, a mission or vision that changes every week, every month, or every, you know, this week we're doing this, next month we're doing that. Amen. But the central focus of all of this is about reconciling man back unto God. Can you say amen? And so tonight I want to challenge you with an intensity in your discipleship, that we can go a level up in our discipleship. I'm not talking about fanaticism. I'm not talking about being an imbalanced person, but I'm talking about can you give just a little bit more in what it is in your level of learning and application. We got a lot of learning, but a little bit of application. And it is in the application where fruitfulness can occur. Hallelujah. Let's go to our Bibles tonight. Amen. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. I'm certain it's familiar to older saints, perhaps. Amen. It's newer for those that are just coming along. Amen. This is the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Verse 16, if you're there, say amen. Word of God reads as thus. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Let's pray together. Amen. Oh, God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for this service. We thank you, Lord, that we've been able to worship you, that we've had a time of prayer and consecration. And now we're asking you, oh Lord, to instruct our hearts. Speak things to us, God. Give us an alignment, God, as far as vision is concerned. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord God, that you would open hearts. And I thank you for the men and women that you have put together, Lord, even as a local body. Oh, precious God, we're praying for revival in this place. We're praying, oh, Lord, that your perfect will be done in every life. We pray this in Jesus' name, and the people of God say amen and amen. So we're talking about an intensity in your level of learning and application, and I want to talk to you about Jesus's command, or the command of Jesus. Now, Jesus, amen, was not only a shepherd, but he was also not only the Savior, not only the Lamb that takes the sin, but he was also a teacher. Can you say amen? And Jesus, they called him the good teacher in many places. Amen. And he gave a command to his first-hand disciples. We would call those primary resources or primary place. Amen. They heard it from Jesus. They learned from him. He taught them. Amen. They walked with him, and they were willing to learn from him. I'm going to throw this in for free. It's not a part of my sermon. You guys have a new pastor, don't you? Yes or no? Amen. You have a new pastor. Amen. And that pastor, God places in a place, and a lot of what God is going to do comes from the teaching that your pastor is going to do. Are we on the same page? Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew 7, 28 and 29. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as scribes. Aren't you glad, amen, amen, that your pastor doesn't have to, you know, tread carefully on everything, amen? And we talked about there being some preaching with authority this morning. Can you say amen? It was the godly authority, amen, of all those revivals that were kindled that kept the revival from becoming weird. Amen. With some of those old time revivals, you would see people rolling on the ground, barking like dogs. When I first came to Christianity, I was a part of a laughing revival, which really wasn't a revival at all. The people, all they did was come to church and laugh and laugh and laugh. But with the godly leadership, amen, revival that is of God can be sustained. Jesus wasn't just a religious figurehead. His teachings were authoritative. and those that sat under his ministry received direct instruction. Amen. As a congregant, you are sitting under someone's ministry. Doesn't matter who the pastor is in any place, in any congregation, those congregants week after week sit under that ministry, and they have hearts to say, teach me. Am I telling the truth? Say amen. Amen. And so Jesus' command is, in a nutshell, is saying, this is what I want you to be doing after my departure. And so we have a context of what all Christian churches should be doing. And if they're not in alignment with what Jesus has left for us, then everything that they're doing must be brought into question. We're not throwing stones at anybody, but we're bringing a biblical clarity of vision that the body of Christ was given by Jesus Christ. And so four parts to the command. Verse 19, the first part is to go. Everybody say go. Amen. Go, therefore. Amen. Jesus had risen from the dead. He had prophesied some things to him. Amen. He had risen from the dead. Hey, it's me. Amen. I was dead. Now I'm risen from the dead. And I have all power and all authority. And now someone who has authority with proof of me rising from the dead, I'm speaking to my disciples before my last departure. And I'm telling you that you need to go, therefore. The second part of that is to make disciples. Verse 19, the second part, and make disciples of all the nations. A disciple is a learner. Amen. You should want to learn. Hallelujah. And he says, make learners in all of the nations. I kind of mentioned it this morning. Christianity did not begin in America. You know, some people say, oh, Christianity is a white person's religion, or this and that. Christianity did not begin. He said, make disciples, make learners in all of the nations. Can you say amen? And then, hallelujah, he said to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then he said to teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. In other words, you are my firsthand disciples. You're learning from me. The things that I taught you are the things that I want you to be passing down from generation to generation. In other words, pulpits don't have the right to just teach what we want to teach. Can you say amen? We can't create our own doctrines and create our own this and our own that. Amen. We must preach and teach, amen, that which Jesus has committed, amen, to us. And so the command begs two overarching questions that we must ask ourselves. Amen. And the first one, amen, and I want us to consider this in light of intensity, dealing with eschatology or last days events. I don't know if you understand or if you understand spiritual time clock. Amen. But things are winding down. Amen. We feel it in our spirit. We're wondering what's happening. But in light of where we are in history, in this generation, amen, there should be an intensity. And so the questions that we must consider, and the first, amen, is will you give yourself into being made into a disciple? Jesus tells those that he left, he says, go and make disciples. So if that's what part of the role of your leader is supposed to be doing, will you give yourself into being made into a disciple? You're not a disciple just because you come to church. You're not a student just because you're on a teacher's roster. Say, what's the roster of all the students? I got a roster of, I was in education a long time. You got all these kids on the roster. They're on the roster just because they have to be there sometime. But you have some that are there, and they are students. They want to learn. That's my teacher, and I want to learn. Will you give yourself into being made into a disciple? If you're not a disciple, you can't go. And though obedience is needed to go, we must render our will to go. You shouldn't go if you're not trained. Amen. But if we don't go, then nothing can happen. Can you say amen? If we don't go, amen, then there's going to be no outflow of that. There'll be no soul saved. It's just us just staying put. Amen. Nothing will occur if we're not willing to go. And so surrender is the key to the unfolding of what God intends. Everybody say surrender. You have a will, and you will do what you will, and you won't do what you won't. Hallelujah. And surrender is the key, amen, to unlocking what God intends. God has an intention. God's intention from the very beginning was to reconcile mankind unto himself. Can you say amen? God's method of doing this, or the vehicle through which mankind will be reconciled unto God, is discipleship. Are you understanding? Jesus made disciples, and then those disciples were to replicate or duplicate and teach those things, amen, that would bring people in alignment with the will of God. And so God's vehicle is discipleship. Hallelujah. And so what a good thing it would be to be labeled as a disciple of Jesus. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Say, no, I want a better title than that. No, that's a great title, man. I'm a disciple. Hallelujah. We're all the disciples in this church. Amen. We're those dedicated learners and those that learn and apply. Where are they this evening? Where are you? Amen. We do a lot of learning, but then there must be learning and application. Can you say amen? Amen. What a great privilege. Talked about Pastor Barry Parker passed away, my first pastor. Amen. He was racist. Amen. God delivered him and saved him. Then he began calling me. He said, you're my son in the faith. He was proud of me. Amen. You know, I mean, he was proud of me. He said, that's my son right there. I was a BP disciple. I was a Barry Parker disciple. Amen. I'm a BP disciple. Amen. Hallelujah. And, you know, and so I'm going to just talk a little bit. Amen. You got Pastor Barajas. Amen. DDB. Amen. You could be a DB disciple. Hallelujah. Amen. A DB disciple. And you could be excited about that. Can you say amen? You can't hold on to the past, Pastor. He's not here anymore. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? And God has chosen, amen, to place another pastor, pastor's wife, pastoral family here. Amen. And what a privilege it would be to say, you know what? I'm a DB disciple. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a privilege. Hallelujah. And so will you give yourself into being made into a disciple? That's the first question. And the second is, who will be the ones that will go? Who will be the ones that will be making others into disciples? Who will be the ones that are baptizing new believers? Who will be the ones teaching new believers? Amen. I don't have time to dedicate to what I wanted to minister. So much I want to say, but I can't. Amen. Hallelujah. But some of you have been around long enough to be teachers of others. Can you say amen? Not in an official position, amen, but having that ability of gaining knowledge and wisdom concerning the ways of God, and you can take someone to heaven with you. Amen. Amen. This morning, the brother sat next to you, didn't he? Amen. I'm calling you out in a good way. Hallelujah. I'm calling you out in a good way. Amen. God wants more. Amen. I said God wants more. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so there's a reality, amen, that it's not just the pastor's responsibility, amen, to facilitate the revival of what God wants to do. Who's going to do the teaching? Who's going to do the baptizing? Well, pastor got to do everything. Amen. Who's going to do the going? Who's going to do the bidding? And disciples are made, they're not born. Can you say amen? Let's go to that PowerPoint really quickly. I want us to focus in on, this guy right here. That guy, his name is Clint Bills. Clint Bills Jr. He came into church as a pot-smoking, skinny little thing. I'm telling you, he was a fornicator. He wasn't faithful. He was, you know, had a girlfriend, but doing all his things, you know. And, you know, he was an athlete. He was a great athlete, had a great baseball scholarship, doing all these things. But he came into church just as a broken sinner. Let's go to the next slide quickly. Amen. He came to church, and he was there for a short time. He came with his girlfriend. They both repented of the fornication. They said, you know, we can't keep fornicating. We got to get married. They repented. They got married, and they both got baptized on the same day. Let's go to the next slide. Hallelujah. Little by little, he began giving himself. He and his wife began giving themselves. They began helping the outreach. They began getting involved. What do we got going on? We got drama. We got any kind of thing that we can do to extend the kingdom of God. They got involved because they wanted to be involved. Can you say amen? Let's go to the next slide. I took him on an invasion team to Barbados. That was his first time going out of the States. He was a newer convert, a newer believer, but as he went over there, he saw the great need. We were going outreach and witness and share the faith and be in the community. He would pray with people. They would give their lives to the Lord. He saw me cast out a demon viper type spirit. He said, oh my God, that revolutionized his entire life. That expanded his vision. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next slide. Amen. They couldn't have a baby. We prayed supernaturally. God opened the womb. God gave them a child. Amen. They became our directors, what we call the door directors or the leaders of evangelism in our congregation. Let's go to the next slide. Amen. And in a Bible conference, amen, you guys, most of you are familiar with this kind of thing, but we were able to ordain that couple and launch them out, amen, to another city. Amen, and begin preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Fireball couple, beautiful couple, amen, and they work together as a couple. Let's go to the next slide. They began pioneering, starting a brand new church in another nearby city. Let's go to the next slide. Then all of a sudden, my wife and I, we made another decision to uproot our family for the second time for missionary journey. We've spent 4 years in Central America and Costa Rica. Another 2 years in Honduras, you know, and it's not just that you're going, but it's a lot of sacrifice when you go. You're uprooting your entire family. We got rid of everything. We went back to zero, amen. But in both of those instances, God did powerful works. And then that couple, let's go to the next slide. CJ and Barbara Beals, they ended up taking over our church there, amen, in Bryan College Station. And they're doing a fabulous job. Can you say amen? Let's go to the next slide. So I'm not there any longer. I'm gone. I'm over here. I'm removed. But now who's doing the baptizing? Who's doing the baptizing? He's doing the baptizing. Am I there? I'm not there. Amen. And who's helping him do the baptizing? One of his disciples. One of his disciples. Can you say amen? Let's go to the next slide. Who's doing the teaching in the Bible study? Am I doing the teaching? He's not even doing the teaching. He's got one of his disciples doing the teaching of new converts in the church. Can you say amen? Let's go to the next slide. This is in Roatan, Honduras. This is on the island, our second missionary stint. Amen. Let's focus in on the man on the right, Mario Leyva in the blue, the red hat. Amen. Let's go to the next slide. This man came into the church. Well, lots of issues going on, some motives, some sneaky motives that he had maybe had going on in his life. God had to help him just like he had to help all of us. Can you say amen? But he came into church. God made him into a man of integrity. Can you say amen? God checked his motives on things in life, and he began to develop in the house of God. Let's go to the next slide. He began helping street preach and witness and share the faith. Let's go to the next slide. My wife and I, we were there for less than 2 years. We nationalized the church. He and his wife, amen, we ended up nationalizing that church. They took our church in less than 2 years. They were developed very quickly, amen, for the things of God. Let's go to the next slide. And the next one. And the next one. And press it one more time. Okay, stop right there. Amen. And so who's doing the baptizing? He's doing the baptizing. Amen. Let's go to the next slide. Who's doing the teaching? He's doing the teaching. Can you say amen? All these wonderful new believers, amen, are learning about the ways of God. Amen. And let's go to the next slide. I was there maybe 5 months ago. There were 85 people in revival service. And I'm not there, but revival is occurring because someone said, I'll go. Can you say amen? And so the Great Commission, amen, is what God has left for us, amen, as a guiding tool to sustain revival in the earth. And Jesus' command, it continues until the end of the age. And lo, I will be with you until the end of the age was Jesus' declaration. And what he was referring to was the end of the church or gospel state, or the end of the dispensation of grace. In the Old Testament, God told Noah, he said, build an ark, didn't he? Noah, build this ark. You and your family have found grace. And I've determined in myself, when I was pastor, I said, if only my wife and I and my children, if we're the only ones that get on the ark, well, so be it. Can you say amen? But we're definitely going to build that ark. Can you say amen? And the Bible said, being warned by God with haste and with a godly fear, that Noah decided to build that ark. And because he built that ark, he saved himself and his family. Can you say amen? And the animals on the earth were saved. And those that were not on the inside of the ark, they were lost. And God closed the door to the ark with his own finger. Are we understanding? And so that moment of the end of the age, or the end of the dispensation of grace, what that means is that there's going to come a time when it's going to be too late to respond. Can you say amen? Right now, everybody, we have the ability to respond to what Jesus did on the cross. We can respond. We can repent of that. Amen. But if we say, I'm not going to do that, there's going to be a time of a rapture. There's going to be the catching away of the saints. Those that die in Christ will be raised first. Those that remain will be taken, caught up afterwards. And we know what the scripture talks about. Amen. But that will be the end of the dispensation of grace. Amen. And the command to go and to make disciples and to teach, all these things, it continues until the end of the age. Can you say amen? So you do it once and again and you repeat. And you repeat, and you repeat, and you repeat. You say, well, man, our vision is pretty stale, man. All we like to do is do stuff to win souls. Well, what other vision is greater than that? What other vision is greater than winning souls? Hey, I know. We want the best programs, but not necessarily focusing on what it really is. Amen. We want this. We want the hype. And I don't hate against good music and good worship, amen. I don't hate against it, amen. But that's not the main focus, can you say amen? It's the vision, amen, that's being instilled inside of those people, amen. And new believers can come, amen, get community, learn to worship, but they can also receive instruction for service. And so that command continues until the end of the age. Or in other words, there'll be a time where there's no need to make disciples. Can you say amen? There won't be any need to be spending your time, Pastor Barajas, trying to teach people. We won't be here. We'll be raptured. I ain't going to be here. Amen. What are you teaching people for now? It's too late now. There'll be no time for you to give yourself to be a disciple. There'll be no need for all that then. But we have time now. And the charge to the body of Christ is to fulfill the Great Commission until the rapture. And Jesus says his presence would be with them until the end of the age, referring to the Holy Spirit. And you say, amen. The Holy Spirit is with me. That's why I can do what I can do. I'm a natural teacher, but I can move in the spiritual dynamic because of the power of God. Same is true with your pastor. Same is true with all succeeding generations of disciples. You say, well, I can't do what you can do. You can, because there's an equipping by the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? And you say, man, I could never do. Yes, you can, because God will equip you to do the work. Hallelujah. And so as a fellowship, we major in several things: evangelism, discipleship, church planning, and world evangelism. Amen. And we work, amen, until the rapture. In olden times, they would say, Maranatha or Maranatha. Amen. Basically, the Lord cometh. And so you would come to church, or you'd be on the street, or you'd be somewhere, and you see one of your friends not in a church setting, and you say, Maranatha, the Lord cometh. Are you ready? And you be going down the road, you see another friend, and you say, and maybe they might be doing the hanky-panky. Maybe they're not doing right. And then you look at him, you say, Maranatha, the Lord cometh. Are you ready? And you say, no, I ain't ready. Look at your neighbor and say, Maranatha. Are you ready? Because if you ain't ready, and he come right now, the Bible says that the wicked will be wicked still when he comes. The righteous will be righteous still when he comes. In other words, when he comes with in a twinkling of an eye, you can't change your condition. If he were to come right now and I'm unrepentant, I can't all of a sudden say, wait a minute, wait one more second, let me repent. No. He's going to find me in the condition that I am when he comes. Are you ready? Hallelujah. So let's talk quickly, amen, about an acceleration in discipleship. Can we accelerate? And so it's time to do more than just worship, give an offering, and go home. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And so what's the point of all the learning if we're not going to do anything with it? We can become fat with knowledge, can't we? We get Sunday school, your Bible studies, sermon, you know, revivals, teaching. You get a whole bunch, your own personal Bible reading because you're reading your Bible at home, too. You're learning because you're reading your Bible at home, too, and you're learning. Amen. Amen. Are y'all picking up what I'm laying down right now? I'm just assuming everybody's reading their Bible at home. But we get a lot of learning, but there's not a lot of application. And so there's no time to wait. We spoke about the rapture can occur, but the reality is that time is of the essence. Romans 13:11, Amplified Classic, it says, besides this, you know what a critical hour this is, how it is high time now for you to wake up out of your sleep, rouse to reality, for salvation, final deliverance, is nearer to us now than when we first believed or adhered to or trusted and relied on Christ the Messiah. In other words, you know, for years, Christian churches, Jesus coming back, right? Jesus coming back. Jesus coming back. The five wise virgins, they were ready. They had their oil in their lamps, they were ready, amen. The five foolish, amen, they all started to kind of, yeah, he's coming back, amen. We've heard it and heard it and heard it. And Paul says, he says, that it's nearer now than when we first believed. Can you say amen? I don't know how soon. I feel that it's soon. I can't say. No one knows the day nor the hour, but it's sooner now than it was when we first believed. And whether the rapture occurs or whether God calls you home, the time is sooner than what it was. Instead, I mean, we can't have a casual approach or a casual mindset to being made into a disciple. Amen. We can't drag our feet. No, let's just walk a little bit faster. Can you say amen? I'm not talking about fanaticism. I'm talking about just upping your level of intensity a little bit. Yeah, I want to learn. I want to learn. Yeah, make me into a disciple. Now, just give a little extra. Come on now. Can you go a little bit faster? Can you do that? The marching orders have not changed. We don't have to guess what our mission is and what our vision is. We don't have to guess what it's going to be. And we have to understand and appreciate the gravity of the command. Amen, because giving ourselves to discipleship can determine how many souls can be saved. Amen. I mentioned earlier about, amen, that God's vehicle to win souls is through discipleship. Amen. Jesus said to some couples of brothers, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You're not just coming to me just so that you can be blessed. Oh, the Lord bless me today. I'm blessed. Ooh, the Lord blessed me with some money. Ooh, I'm blessed. Ooh, hallelujah, I'm blessed. You got to be blessed if you walk with Jesus in obedience. But Jesus says, he says, when you follow me, you're going to be fishing for souls, is what he's saying. Can you say amen? And then the discipleship is key to preparation for others to win souls in the kingdom of God. And so it's in the following of your pastor. It's in the participation that you can be equipped. And so do you understand the gravity of timing? Jesus had about three and a half years to work with those disciples that he was with. Jesus knew that he was going to be crucified one day. Isn't that true? And before he was crucified, he had to fully equip and teach those that would continue the work before he was crucified. So I mentioned that my wife and I and my family, we were missionaries on two different occasions. That means that we left the comforts of America. It might not be anything to you. Amen. I was teacher of the year three times in different schools. Teacher of the year for an entire school district. I was going up, you know, they wanted me to do presentations and mentor teachers and do all these kinds of things. You know, it may not be big for you, but I abandoned what I was doing. That's just me. For something that I was captured by what I'm doing today. Can you say amen? And we abandon our lives and all these things. And so on our second missionary journey, we find ourselves in Roatan, Honduras, an island that's just like a little slither, like a green bean. If you know what a green bean looked like, that's how the island looked like. This little thin little island, long and skinny island. That's it. You wake up in the morning, and you go to the left, and then you turn around and go to the right. Amen. I said, Lord Jesus, I said, Lord, I don't want to be here for a long time. You know what I'm talking about? I don't want to be here this long time. And so I said, I'm going to work. I wasn't dragging my feet. I know why I'm here. I'm on this island to win souls, to make disciples. I ain't going to be here that long. I'm going to work. And so I began working ferociously and with a goal in mind. Amen. And so one day I'm driving on the street. No, I'm over here. Yeah. I'm driving down that little one highway on the whole island. It ain't even a highway. It's just like a road or whatever. And I'm driving down here, and I look to my left, and I see this brother selling some vegetables. He's selling some vegetables, and I look over, and I park my car immediately. And I park my car, and I walked over to that brother, and I walked to, no, it was like this, yeah. I remember it. I have a crazy mind. I remember all that. And so I walked to him like this. And he's selling vegetables, and I looked at him in his eyes, and I said, just like you selling vegetables, you're going to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I got my hands, and I laid it on his head, and I started speaking and prophesying over, Shea-ra-ba-ko-ri-ya-ba-sai. And guess what? That brother was the man who took our church in less than 2 years. Give God glory. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come here, come here. Come here, come here real quick. Tell you a secret. You got it? Do you know what your assignment is? Okay, let's go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on, bro, come on, come on, man. Come on. Okay. Okay. All right.
I got the best fruits and vegetables on this island. Naturally grown.
Do y'all want to buy those vegetables? Yeah, y'all say nah. No, no. Are y'all convinced? Say no, say no. Are y'all convinced? Say no, say no. Are y'all convinced? Say no. Come on, bro. Come on, man. Come on, keep going. Make me buy them vegetables. Come on. Come on, come on. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Let's go. Keep going. Come on, bro. Come on. Make me believe you got those best vegetables. Get excited. Come on. Come on, bro. You got this, man. Come on. Come on. Get more excited. Come on. Give him a round of applause. Give him a round of applause. Come on, try it. Come on. Come on. Pruébalo. 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 Give him a round of applause. All right. All right. All right. Come on, man. Give me more. Mas.
I have kiwis here from the Tapachula. They're from Tapachula. They are
más fuerte, más, 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 más. Keep going. Sigue, sigue, sigue. Sigue, sigue, sigue. And as he's doing this, I'm driving. Keep going. Sigue, sigue. And so I park my car. And I walk up to him just like this. Continua. Sigue, sigue. Just like you're selling these vegetables. You're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. That brother had no intention in the world to preach the gospel. No intention in the world. Can you say amen? No intention whatsoever, but God had another intention. I didn't know the man, but God knew the man. I didn't ask for his permission. I simply obeyed God and prayed for him, and he is doing a fabulous job, he and his wife, and their church is thriving there on the island of Roatan. And so only when we respond to the call, amen, can something occur. We have to hear and respond. Hallelujah. And some responded immediately when Jesus called them, and others didn't respond. The Bible says that those groups of brothers, they left their nets immediately. They left their fishing rods. They left their father. They left whatever they're doing, and they immediately followed Jesus. Sometimes it takes us a long time to respond, doesn't it? Because we got other things going on, or maybe there's an unwillingness or whatever it might be. But sometimes we don't respond, and we need to understand the gravity of time. We don't have all the time to do something for God. Can you say amen? And then just as a side note, when you share your faith with people, are you convinced about the gospel that you preach? Amen. Part of that, and I know I was kind of putting you guys on the spot. That's okay. But part of it is, can I be convincing? Do I believe the gospel? You may not be able to sell vegetables. Amen. We're not selling vegetables. Can you say amen? We don't care if people buy vegetables or not, but can you persuade somebody to know that the God that you serve is good and that you want him? Can you say amen? And then lastly, we're going to close very quickly. There needs to be an intensity, amen, in our discipleship. And so Jesus, he taught many things. Hallelujah. He taught many things, and all of the things that Jesus taught, amen, are things that we would want to learn so that we can be equipped. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And so we talk about OJT, or on-the-job training. Amen. And so on-the-job training means you're going to learn how to do all the things that ministry requires, amen, to be fruitful. You're going to learn that that's why participation is important. Amen. I paid a price. Your pastor paid a price. We didn't just get dropped in. Although some of I'm a preacher, I had to pay a price. And part of my responsibility, part of your pastor's responsibility, is ensure, amen, that men and women are paying the price. Can you say amen? You have to pay the price of consecration. It's not just learning. Can you be clean? Can you be holy? Can you be set apart? Can you learn how to pray? Can you learn how to cast out demons? Can you have a spiritual dynamic at work in your life? Hallelujah. Can you be teachable? Right? You're not just a buddy-buddy with Jesus. Oh, Jesus is my buddy-buddy. No, the student is not greater than the teacher. Can you say amen? Amen. And I know we're just men. Your pastor's just a man. Hallelujah. Amen. But you know, you can learn some things. You can have a teachable spirit. Can you say amen? Be teachable, not just, you know, well, I already know that. I know this. We don't know everything. Allow yourself to be taught. Amen. And as you say, there's a willingness. Then there is a disposition from the heart of your pastor to work with you in discipleship. There's two parts to this. One, as a shepherd, just loving for the sheep, praying for the sheep, counseling the sheep. But the other part of that is the preparation of people for service in the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? And there is a price that must be paid. And Jesus, amen, he made sure that his disciples paid a price. Can you say amen? Is anyone here want to give themselves to learning? Amen. Will you give yourself to learning? Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Tonight, so many things to say, not a lot of time to say it, but time is short. Who will be the couples that will be launched? Who will be those people that God will use in the local body? Everyone that gets sent out in the local body, God has to sustain the local body. This is a local body. This church must function and be fruitful. And then from this church, couples will rise up, and you guys will launch them. You'll support financially the work of God in other places. And what God is doing here. The revival here will flow to other parts of the city and nation and even through the world. Amen. That is our hope. Will you give yourself to learning? Will you give yourself to consecration and holiness? Will you have an intensity in your connectivity with God and relationship with God? First order of business tonight is to provide an opportunity where a supernatural door can be opened. When one sins, we die spiritually. We don't even understand that. The spiritual death occurs first, then the natural death. And so when we disobey what God has said, there is a spiritual death and there is a separation from God. But the glorious gospel that we have left for us is that in Christ Jesus, amen, our sins can be forgiven. We can be reconciled unto God. And no matter what you've done in the past, God can cleanse that. He can heal that. He can cleanse your conscience. He can forgive you. No matter what it is, God can forgive you tonight. And I would count it such a privilege just to simply lead you in a prayer where you can turn your heart back unto God. You say, God, woe is me. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against people. And I repent of my own sin. I judge my own life. And I believe the gospel that your blood, Jesus, is sufficient payment for my sins. And so you're here tonight and you want that prayer. You want to make heaven your home. You want that prayer. Just lift up your hand where I can see it all over this place. You say, would you pray with me tonight? You want prayer. You want prayer tonight? That's you. You want your sins forgiven? Amen. You want to be reconciled with God in relationship? If that's you, I want you to lift up your hand tonight. God brought you. Amen. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you're backslidden in heart, but God wants you to be reconciled and you want to come back to him. If that's you, I want to pray with you tonight. Amen. Be honest with God. Be honest. Be honest with God. Hallelujah. Amen. So therefore, our altar, amen, is directed specifically to those that are already in Christ. Amen. We must surrender our will. I sang that song, we must heed the call. He calls, he draws, he speaks, and he'll deal with our hearts. But we must willingly say, yes, Lord, you can deal with me. I'll respond. And so as we come to the altars, we're going to sing a song of worship. Let's just be tender to the presence of God and say, yes, I can be made into a disciple. Yes, Lord, I can respond. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song. Let's come to the altar.
Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. Yeah. You've taken me from the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock. Now I know I love you. I need you. You're my only hope. I'll never let you go. You're my Savior, my closest friend. I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, yeah, lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. Yeah. You've taken me, yeah, from the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock. Now I know, yeah, I love you. I need you. You're my only hope. I'll never let you go. You're my Savior, my closest friend. I will worship you until the very end. I love you. I love you. I need you. You're my only hope. I'll never let you. Savior, you're my Savior. closest friend. I will worship you until the very, from the top. And Jesus, let's sing it. And lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you. You've taken me, said, from the miry clay. Come on. I will worship you until the very. I love you. Yeah, and I need you. You're my only hope. Never let you go. And I will until the very. I love you. I need you. Oh, you're my only hope. Is he your savior? Yeah, yeah, savior. Let's just worship God in this place. We give you praise and we give you glory. Hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah. God's good tonight. What we need, amen, is another generation of disciples to raise up. Can you say amen? If this church is going to enter into new levels of fruitfulness and impact until Jesus comes, it's going to require a response from the heart. Hallelujah. And so if you're going to say in your spirit that you will give yourself to learning and those things that the different principles we talked about. Amen. And you want to do that. Amen. I want to say a prayer with you. Amen. Tonight, there are things that you must learn from the pastor. There are things that women must learn from the pastor's wife. Can you say amen? And if you want to do that, amen, I just want you to lift up your hands. Amen. And I'm going to pray a prayer with you. I want you to say this: God in heaven, I understand the times that we're living in. I'm not a fanatic, but I understand the gravity of salvation. There are many things that I can give myself to, things that don't even really mean much, but I know that as I give myself to learning and applying your word, that fruitfulness can come from my life and that souls can be impacted for eternity. On this day, I vow to be consecrated, to live cleanly, to stay away from sinful things, and to be a vessel of the Holy Spirit. I declare in Jesus' name. And let's just worship God. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise. Amen. I have a similar word, but slightly different. Amen. For a few of you. Amen. Hallelujah. And I got a picture of, you know, I don't know if you've ever been in the military or not, but I got a picture of someone who's presented himself before God. It's just like you come to church and it's kind of like you're just in limbo and you're just here. But I got a picture of you presenting yourself before God. And God wanted me to tell you, you don't have to be distant. You don't have to feel separated. There is connection and there is connectivity. And God sees the disposition of your heart. And he can take that disposition and he can prepare you and equip you. You're just like a soldier that's standing before the Lord saying, God, instruct me. That's what I sense. That God wants me to tell you and just to be encouraged, amen, and to
Take this sermon to heart. Go with intensity and acceleration, and God's going to do mighty and powerful things. Amen. And so are y'all married couple here? No? Okay. Are y'all dating or anything? Y'all are. Okay. Amen. All right. Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, it's time. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. And first steps, first things are first. Work out those different things, and you're going to see God do something powerful. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Similar word for you, my brother here. You almost sold the vegetables for me. Come here. Come here. Similar thing here. Amen. You have, you're in a state of limbo. We spoke very briefly, but that has, you know, that's not where I'm coming from with this. You are here, and you don't understand why you're here. And not only here in this city, but you're a part of this church that equips and prepares people for the ministry. Listen, I wanted to do Broadway and modeling and acting, and I was on my way to New York. I was a part of a church. And then God began calling me and drawing me to himself. I didn't really understand. People say, are you going to go pursue your dreams here and there? And I began to say, I think God's calling me to be a preacher. I don't know. And I didn't know how that was going to occur in my life. And even though God had dropped that in my spirit, I still was going to New York. I'm going to New York. And you've landed here for this purpose and for this time. God is preparing something in you. Amen. And you don't have to worry or be confused. God has a preparation of what he's going to do in your life if you would just surrender to it. We must heed the call of God. And so there are two things. There is the natural inheritance, and there is the spiritual inheritance. And so while you're here now, you're going to have to balance some things and figure out what is the spiritual inheritance that God is trying to give me, and then what he wants to pass along through me. Amen. And so I just want to pray with you. Lift up your hands to heaven. Father, by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Come here. Amen. You come here. Where is your wife? Okay, come here. Amen. Hallelujah. In English. Okay. 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 Take hands there. So I've spent a little time with you. But this is neither here nor there. But God's scripture for you is 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. But that's not God. What God wants you to know is your personality that he's given you, don't change that. But there is a seriousness to all of this. And so God wants you to enter into another level of understanding spiritual things and spiritual learning, and let there be a seriousness in your life that people can see a development in your life and look at you with different eyes. It's going to be a quick work of what God is going to do, a quick work of what God's going to do in preparation. But that depends on your response in preparation and then in humility. The Bible says not a beginner. You don't raise up a beginner because then they get a big head. Amen. But as I ministered in the sermon concerning paying a price, there is a price that you're going to have to start paying. You haven't paid it yet. You're going to have to pay a price. And a new series is going to have to come upon your life. And then you're going to have to fight for this unity in this relationship. Okay? Hallelujah. And so I just want to pray for you tonight. Father, by the blood of Jesus, Kelebe karababa shanda rebe di boria baba. Help them, Father, by your spirit. Order their steps, lead them and guide them, Father, by your spirit and by your grace. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I pray for you tonight? Can I pray for you tonight? Would you stand for me? Hallelujah. What's your name? Joy. God bless you. And so God brought you here tonight. And in this one service, God has opened your heart. There's new things in your mind, new understanding in your mind, just about the clarity of the kingdom of God. And so God has been drawing you to himself. And he's attempting, even on this night, to create a newness in your spirit. God is a gentleman, as we say. God doesn't manipulate our will. But we must surrender to his drawing when he begins drawing us. And God, he's been drawing you, and he's drawing you. And he's brought you tonight with a clear picture of the purpose of the gospel. And so not only does he want to save you, but he wants you to connect to vision and to purpose. And even as I was ministering, there was a stirring in your heart. You didn't understand everything, but there was a stirring. And that stirring came from the Spirit of God for salvation and also for purpose and connectivity. A purpose greater than yourself that you could begin giving yourself to. And then when people look at you, they're going to be amazed and surprised at the great work that God has done. And so I just want to pray for you, amen, for salvation. Do you want God to forgive your sins? He does. Okay. I want to pray with you. I want you to say this: God in heaven. Say, God in heaven, thank you for hearing my voice and for knowing my heart. I fully trust on you, Jesus, that it's your blood that pays for my sin. Every curse in my life is broken. My identity is hidden in you. And I'm asking you, Lord, to order my steps. Cause me to be sensitive to your voice and to your dealings from this day forward. Meet with me in my personal time of prayer. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm asking you, Lord, to lead my brother, to order his steps, and to guide him, Father, even from this day forward, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. God's good. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Where's your wife? Amen. Where's your wife? Okay, she's right there. Okay. I took my glasses off, so that means I can't see too well. Amen. Come here. Come here. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Just take hands right there. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I didn't know what I was going to speak, and we've kind of had a little bit of conversation. Amen. But the Lord is just simply saying, connect yourself. I ministered this message. The Lord said, connect yourself to a bigger purpose, something outside of yourself. I mentioned about free will. And we will this and we will not this. And so God says, connect yourself, my son. And even as you, you were in the military and all these particular things, and you willingly gave yourself to those particular things for natural purpose and natural causes, even things that you can grow from personally or naturally in this life. But he says, now submit yourself and surrender and with a spiritual leadership and a spiritual covering in your life. And as you presented yourself in that way for those motives before, now present yourself in a different way under spiritual covering, and God can begin orchestrating and leading and guiding. Okay, and so there's a valley of decision. We kind of talked about some things, but there's a valley of decision. And once you make a decision for that, present yourself to God as a learner and a student, all the fog will go away. It's going to just erase. And you're like, wow, what was that? It's going to be a clarity that's going to come. It's not going to be a wrestling any longer, and you'll be settled in your spirit. Precious God, by the blood of Jesus, I thank you for this precious couple. I thank you, Lord, that you have brought them. I thank you that you've allowed us to meet even at this time in their walk and even at this season in their life, oh, Lord God, that you've allowed us to meet. I pray, Lord God, that your perfect will for their lives would be accomplished. I pray peace and clarity over my brother's mind and over his. Father, by the blood of Jesus, give him clarity in his mind and in his spirit. And I pray, touch my sister even right now, Lord. Father, by the blood, I give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You say, you just talking to everybody. I'm not talking to everybody. That's not how I function. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me just talk to you very quickly. Hallelujah. Amen. Where's your wife? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. You said a few times, you said, God's got a plan for me. God's got a plan for me. God's doing. But you don't realize the magnitude of what that means. God does have a plan. And I'm not just speaking to you, you know, in the sense of like, oh, you know, we launch couples and all those kinds of things. It has nothing to do with that. It's the revelation of the will of God for your life. God does have a plan for you. He has something that is marked out for you. And so as I spoke in the sermon, you came to my mind immediately about giving yourself to learning. There's going to be some more learning that you're going to need at this time. There are some things that you already have at work for you. There's some consecration. There's some seeking of God. But the next portion before the acceleration of what God is going to release, there has to be a greater level of learning. And so give yourself to learning so that God can fully equip and prepare. But that starts now. Okay, you can't be surface knowledge on things. You're going to have to go in deep, your personal study, but also asking questions in discipleship. Amen. And God's going to help. Amen. I just want to pray for you. Father, by the blood, I'm asking you to help this couple to walk with you and to know you. Lord God, they have an openness for your will for their lives, oh Lord God. I'm asking that you would shield them and cover them and protect them. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord God, to increase them even now in these times that they're learning. Oh, God, would be in your timing, oh, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And then I want to pray. I want to pray for you and your wife if I can. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. The Lord has not forgotten. Amen. He knows labor and heart. He is not unjust to forget, Scripture says. Amen. And so there, if there have been upsets in the past or difficulties in the past, I kind of shared just about, you know, we were talking the other day about, you know, someone kind of destroyed the church. But that was really, that's what God wants you to know. He says that the labor that you have done, it is not forgotten. And I have not forgotten you, says the Lord thy God. But be tender to me. Listen once again to my soft, still voice. Take up the cross, plow the land. Respond from your heart again with sensitivity, with the calling that God first placed upon your life. The fruit from the past is there. Situations from the past, they've gone. But God says new beginnings begin even tonight. Hear again my voice, says the Lord thy God. Let there be new hope and new inspiration in your life. Seek me closely in this season, and I shall meet with you, and I shall cause there to be new growth. There should be greenness, there should be vibrancy, and there should be fruitfulness, says the Lord thy God. Father, by the blood of Jesus, hallelujah. Give God praise. And one more, and then we're going to be done for the night. Amen. Amen. Come out of here, piano player. Come here, piano player. Hallelujah. The Lord specifically just gave me a direct word, and he says, you're more than a musician. You're more than a musician. You're comfortable there. You're hiding there. Okay? But this is not a rebuke. Amen. This is an encouragement. God says there's more in you than you recognize in yourself. And I'll speak some things maybe later. Amen. But God's putting a new spirit in you. He's going to put a new spirit in you. And that old spirit, that old tormenting thing, God said it's removed. It's gone. And so trust in him. He is your strength. He's going to always be your strength. You're more than a musician. And so just begin seeking him. And then he's going to unfold things in your life. Things will become clearer for you. And it was a great display of when that young man sat next to you today, amen, that God says there's more in you, and he wants that to come out of you, okay? And so don't just be comfortable over here. Connect with your pastor. Have spiritual conversations. Talk about different things. What's in your heart? And God's going to help you. And the next time I come, we're going to see some whole different thing. Hallelujah. I don't know what, but see a whole different thing. Shake! Amen. Let's just give God praise. Amen. Father, we magnify you. We glorify you in this place. We honor you, God. We magnify you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. That's all the time that I have. I just want to say thank you for the offering of love that you gave. My family and I, that's how we survive. Can you say amen? Pray for us. Amen. This church will always be in my heart. You will be on my prayer list. Amen. And I got a new family with you guys. Amen. Worship the Lord as your pastor comes. Hallelujah.